the Lord, everyone. You could just stand to your feet, and we're going to read our passage for this month. And this really is mean. Look at this. Somebody brought an 8-pack of Mountain Dew. A bag of Snickers. I'm here to tell you, I'm going to cherish that, but we're going to leave it there as a constant reminder, as a goal. How's that? We've been speaking going into the month of January. Our theme for this year is expect, and we'll be covering and getting more into that as we get into the month of February. We're concentrating going into this month. Our church is on a 21-day prayer and fasting commitment. If you're a guest of ours, and just to kind of let you know where we're at, we've been talking about praying, fasting, and expect. We talked about the testing begins. We talked about patience, patience, patience. And tonight we're going to continue on with our messages to get us through this next 21 days. I just want to ask you a question, and I want you to just be very, very honest with me tonight, if you could be. So just be as transparent as you can be. How many of you are expecting something? How many of you are feeling like you're expecting something right now? Are you feeling it? You know, we go through times to where we get tired, and our level of expectation can begin to drop off, okay? Because our bodies, I mean, we were designed, God designed us, by the way, and we have physical limitations. Sometimes we reach those limitations, and as we reach those limitations, the level of expectation drops. How many of you ever worked on a job? We're trying not to do this in the kitchen, to where it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're tired and you want to go home and you're like, you know what, just forget it, put it up and leave it. Because your level of expectation has dropped. And we have to be continually on guard as we go through this month that our level of expectation increases instead of decreases. Because it's very easy when you get tired to say, you know what, I'm tired tonight, I'm going to go to church, I don't really expect much because I'm just tired. And simply because we don't expect much, we don't receive much. But I'm believing that God is going to help us through this. Reading from Matthew 17, 19 through 21. And the disciples came to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" We've covered this passage many different ways. And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your low level of expectation." You can't do this because you don't really believe and you don't expect to be able to do this. "For verily I say unto you," this is Jesus saying, "for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this problem, you shall say unto this situation, you shall say unto this diversity or this problem in your life, whatever it may be, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed." And it shall be removed. It just simply says it shall be removed. So if I'm here tonight and I say we shall have victory, because God has promised us victory, then we shall have victory. And nothing, and I love this, and nothing, I was tired when I came into this place tonight, but I can feel such a power of the Holy Ghost, and nothing, nothing shall be impossible unto you. He was talking to his disciples. Are we not disciples of Christ? Howbeit, Jesus goes on to say, but I want to just throw in a little extra here. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You can be seated. Prayer and fasting. We spoke on the test of patience, on how we would be tested in this fast with patience. And one of the first tests that we have faced from Sunday until today, we spoke of this last Wednesday evening in preparation for this. And I want to thank Pastor Phil and Pastor Seidel for a great job this weekend in ministering to us. I appreciate that. And one of the first fasts that we have faced in this fast, one of the first tests that you have probably faced is a test of patience. Since Sunday morning when you started your fast, some of you started a week earlier. Some of you are into 2 weeks of this. Some of you are just into our fourth day here. How many of you are struggling in your patience? Just a handful. All right. We want to be honest tonight. As the fast continues, you're going to continually face the test of patience. God is going to continue. And as we enter into this fourth day of fasting, and if you've stopped consuming caffeine, we are in various different fasts, and there's four different selections that you could choose from, and you were able to set your parameters, and I have stopped consuming caffeine, and I have stopped consuming sugar. And I have had headaches. I had a headache all day today. Usually I don't have them this long, but as we enter into the next few days, we're going to suffer more and more from the lack of sugar in our bodies. How many of you consume sugar on a daily basis? You put it in your coffee, you put it in your tea, you drink it in your soda, it's in everything we eat, it's everywhere. I mean, it's sugar and or high fructose corn syrup, which is a second additive to sugar. If you look here at Mountain Dew, it will have sugar and it will have high fructose corn syrup in it. So it's kind of a double whammy, and then it's got caffeine in it, and then you throw in a half a bag of Snicker bars, and you are in for a ride. Now, as your body begins to clear all of this and flush all of this stuff out of your system, it begins to have an effect on you. How many of you are having effects of withdrawal from some of these things? And we're going to be honest here tonight. This isn't a quiz, or I'm just not going to look at you like, I can't believe. I tell you what, I have craved sugar. I'm just going to lay it out there. I wanted nothing more today than to sit down and have a big old bowl of Tin Roof ice cream and enjoy every flavor, every savor, every moment of it. Somebody already blew the taste, no food stuff, by putting this up here. So I figured since this is already up here and you know it's here, then what's the rest? Might as well. You know, you've just, your body craves this. And we all have different bodies, different sizes, different shapes. And I want to encourage you tonight that as we struggle with some of these things and some of these things that are in our bodies, and this is not a lesson on sugar or high fructose corn syrup, but we also understand that as we go through a spiritual or a physical a process, we are beginning to go through a spiritual process at the same time. And it's very difficult in our flesh to fight the spirit, because the flesh is fighting against the food from the lack of food, and then also we enter into a battle in our spirit. So when we look at all of this, we're really fighting a two-folded battle. We're fighting a battle within our flesh, and the spirit is desiring to take over, and we desire our spirit to become as his spirit into his will. And all of this can lead to one simple word, and it's a source word for tonight. It's our title of our message tonight is, it can all lead to a bunch of frustration. How many of you have ever been frustrated in your life? How many of you have been frustrated the last 3 or 4 days? You get frustrated because when you get up in the morning, you're used to your coffee and you don't have your coffee. And you get frustrated because now you can't find your keys. Just one thing builds on it, and the level of frustration begins to grow. This is what we're facing in our flesh. So tonight we're going to talk just for a little bit about frustration. This is a test of frustration. As we continue on our journey tonight, everyone who tries to accomplish anything in their life worth anything is going to face a level of frustration in your life. The more effort that one gives in trying to accomplish a specific task, and our task is to try to accomplish a 21-day fast, the more one tries to accomplish a specific task, oftentimes the greater level of frustration that an individual will face. We have all gone through this. Remember, church, I want you to understand that frustration is not the final answer. Frustration is simply one step towards accomplishing your goal that God has called you and I to accomplish. The step of frustration is part of that process. And we have to step through it. Frustration is defined as to bring to nothing, to break, to nullify, to make void, to disappoint. So when we look at frustration, how would we classify frustration as individuals? And you look at frustration, and I would put frustration as an emotion. It's an emotion that occurs in situations where one individual or a group of individuals is blocked from reaching a personal goal. And there's nothing more that Satan would like to do within the next 21 days is to frustrate us from completing the goal that God has called us to complete. We don't want to become nullified. We don't want to break down. We don't want to disappoint. We want to pass this test of frustration. And the most important goal, or the more important the goal, the greater the level of frustration. So when we look at this fast, and as we go through 7 days into 14 days into 21 days, the further we go in our goal, sometimes the greater level of frustration that we face. Frustration is simply caused whenever the results you are experiencing do not seem to fit the effort or the action that you have exerted. Frustration will occur whenever your actions are producing less and fewer results than you think that they should. When we look at our fasting, many of us within the next few days, we're going to become very frustrated in ourselves because we are fighting a battle. And within this battle, there will be frustrations. And when we get into this, we're upset or frustrated because we haven't achieved, or seemingly we've gone for a week now without anything to eat, and we're not accomplishing what we expect to accomplish in the spirit. So frustration can set in. Brother Jeff Vaughn asked me tonight, just in conversation, as far as are you feeling anything in the spirit? And I told him that this week has been a very difficult week. We've got this kitchen remodel. We've been spending a lot of hours here, and I haven't been able to focus as I would like to focus on this fast, although it's good to keep busy because the hours pass away. Okay, so for me, it's somewhat frustrating, but it's not totally frustrating because it's a good thing in some ways, because I'm not thinking about everything else that you could be thinking about when you're busy working and everybody else is working and we're all in the same situation. So over the last few days, and as we go into this next week, we're going to start, as I said earlier, we're going to start to see a shift. And I really feel that just in prayer this afternoon that the Lord just kind of laid this out, that the first 7 days is going to be a battle with your flesh, and we've talked about this. Now we're 3 days, 4 days into this, we're battling the flesh, and somewhere between 4 days and 7 days, the battle is going to change to where we're going to begin to battle the spirit that's within us. okay? And then after we conquer the spirit within us, and we're going to get into that in a few minutes, then there's the spirits that are without, that are outside, the spirits that we're going to face in our community, the spirits that we're going to face that come into this building that need deliverance. So we have our flesh, we have our internal spirit, if I could put it that way, if everyone understands the concept of the internal spirit, and then we have the external. So those are the things that we're going to become a bit frustrated with. But we must have patience because this is a test that God is taking us through. This past week, as I said, we've been working on the kitchen remodeling. And, you know, I don't know how everybody else is, but I was laying in bed last night and I was kind of frustrated. I kind of hoped that we'd been a little bit further in the project in some areas. And as I'm laying in bed there, how many of you ever have got a cramp in your hamstring? Anybody ever get a cramp? I guess I looked it up. It's from lack of potassium. And, you know, as you start to deprive your body of certain types of foods and certain foods or food and vitamins and all that, man, I got a horrible cramp in my hamstring. It was terrible. And then I got it somewhat cleared, and then it happened again, and it happened again, and finally I just had to get up. And I mean, I'm walking around, and I'm in pain, and I'm in tears, and my wife's, what can I do? I'm just like, leave me alone. Leave me alone. There's a level of, I have no patience right now, and I'm frustrated because this hurts. God was trying to give me just a little bit of a precursor to tonight, I guess. Anybody ever been there? So we get frustrated. We run out of patience. And we have to understand that, you know what? It doesn't matter what we're going through in life, because life at times is going to be full of frustrations. We're going to face them. From minor irritations of losing your car keys. The end of last week, we had a leaky roof in the church building, and we had to spend one whole evening with a number of guys fixing the roof, leaking roof, and in the middle of this whole kitchen, and you could have maybe a dead battery in your car in the cold weather. You get up in the morning and to go out and start your car, and your car won't start, and it's cold, and your fingers freeze to the car door because your fingers are warm and they stick to the metal in the car door, and we get frustrated. From small, constant flows of frustration to the major anxieties of continual failure towards meeting a goal. Frustration is not a pleasant emotion at any level. So we have to ask ourselves, why do we become frustrated? You see, this past week we had to clean out a refrigerator over here in the church. We had our refrigerator and we had to move a bunch of things around. And sometimes life can be like a refrigerator. And we're going to talk about food here for a minute. But you're going to understand it's not going to be good food. You see, we had to move the refrigerator, and we opened up the refrigerator, and the smell that came out of the refrigerator was most, it stunk. Okay? And at times, our lives, I know before, how many of you before you started this fast went through your refrigerator and cleared all the stuff out you know you're not going to need? How many of you went through your cupboards, cleaned all that stuff out, and then you go over to Costco or whatever, and you know, I heard of a bunch of people were over there all buying Daniel's Fast Foods and all this kind of stuff. You go through and you clean your refrigerator out because you know you're not going to need this stuff. But you see, our refrigerator here didn't get cleaned out. And there's a lot of refrigerators that don't get cleaned out. And when you go through your refrigerator, your cupboards, and you clean out what was needed, what may become a temptation for you, you just got rid of it. And this past week here at church, we opened up the refrigerator to move some of these things around, and it stunk really bad. And it was time to clean out the refrigerator. And Sister Janine from our that's our cook for Kids Depot. She came in and she spent some extra time cleaning out the refrigerator. And I think in the process, she was probably a little bit frustrated. After all, it was really not her mess. But you see, sometimes that's just the way life goes. And as we go through the process of life, we pick up a whole bunch of really smelly, stinky stuff. And we put it in our refrigerator, or we keep it in our refrigerator. And some of the things that when we go to the grocery store and we buy all of this fresh food and we put it in the refrigerator, it's fresh and it's healthy and it's good for you to eat. But as time goes on, if you leave that in there, the milk expires, the ice cream gets all kinds of frost on top of it, and the lettuce starts to wilt, and the spinach starts to wilt, and the cheese starts to mold, and all of these things, what was once healthy for you is now all consumed with all kinds of junk and bacteria, mold growing all over it. So when we look at our lives, and when we look at tonight, what we are going through, or what we are, the process we're going through, is we're having to take and clean out from inside of our refrigerator we call life. We're going to have to take and clean some of this junk out. And it's going to be a frustrating process for us. We don't like it when we have to take and deal with some of the things and some of the issues that we struggle with in our lives. We don't like it when we have to take and dig deep down in, and where the flesh finally gives way to the spirit, and we begin to pray and we begin to ask God to show us, show me what's in my heart, and God begins to reveal to us all of these things that are inside of us. That at one time it may have been fresh, it may have been clean, it may have been tasty to the taste buds, but now it's all moldy and it's gross and it just plain stinks up our lives. Frustration can be internal, and frustration can be external. Internal sources of frustration involve personal issues that we may have, issues that we need to clean out from our lives, but we don't always have the desire to do that. Issues in our lives such as anger, issues in our lives such as bitterness, issues in our lives such as jealousy, issues in our lives such as lust, issues in our lives such as hatred. All of these issues in our lives that if we continue to allow them to operate, it will spoil or ruin us. Thus, we have to go through a process of purifying that. And our flesh does not like that process. You see, we have external frustrations. We have issues internally that we never know sometimes that we even have those issues internally until the door is opened up and the smell comes out. I remember a number of years ago, my wife and I, we had left our home for a while, and we went back, and somehow our freezer got unplugged. And I don't know if you've ever had a freezer full of meat and fish, but we had probably 40, 50 pounds of fish in our freezer. And we went in, and I smelled a smell in the garage, and I'm like, man, something in here smells. I checked the trash cans. It wasn't the trash cans. I go over, and I open up the freezer, and you just about fall over from the stench. Sometimes, and this is hard, but sometimes when God looks down at our lives and asks us to open up our refrigerator doors, he looks and says, oh, that is repulsive to me. That really stinks. And he turns his head away, just as we would turn our head away from our own refrigerator. So we have those internal, and then we have external frustrations. External causes of frustrations involves conditions outside of us as an individual. You can have financial issues sometimes that it's not an internal issue as much as it is maybe an external. You have problems on your job or all of these different, sometimes just lacking resources in your life can become a real internal issue and a source of frustration in your life. There are many dangers that we can face when we become frustrated because, you see, frustration, I look at frustration like love and anger. They're part of our emotional makeup, but frustration is an emotion that when it becomes or gets out of control, it can quickly spiral in a downward spiral very quickly. I've worked on jobs and construction over the years and you work all day long, and as the day wears on, you become more and more frustrated. And as you get closer to the end of the day just seemingly just spirals out of control. Frustrating. Frustrating problems will consume our energy like no other type of problem will consume your energy. How many of you have laid in bed at night and you can't go to sleep because you're thinking about something that has frustrated you? And you think about it all night long, and you wake up in the middle of the night and your thought process goes back to that frustrating problem. It's eating and consuming your energy and taking away your sleep. We sleep all night long and we feel like we wrestle. If we're not careful, frustration, for the most part, as it leads to a downward spiral, eventually ends up in a state of defeat. And if we're not careful, when we become frustrated, becoming frustrated can become habit-forming. There are some people that I have worked with and been around in my life that they're always frustrated about things. How's it going today? Oh, I'm frustrated. How's it going today? Oh, I'm having a bad, why is that? Well, this, and this, and it's a source that becomes a habit. It becomes part of them. Frustration, if we're not careful, and it's not rooted out in our lives, we begin to pout, and we begin to live our entire lives frustrated. And then frustration becomes an obsession. We have some people that just, they're obsessed with being frustrated. They seem to just love the drama in their lives, and it becomes a part of them, and they become obsessed with it. And frustration leads to bad decisions, both in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm, which makes the problems worse, which more than not often leads to even a greater level of defeat. And frustration, if we continue to live lives of frustration takes away and destroys any progress that has been achieved. So we've come 4 days and we've pushed ourselves through our patience test. And we're working through the frustration test. And we have to be careful that frustration does not discourage any forward progress. Because you see, frustration will limit your perception. So we have to ask ourselves, God, why is it, Lord, that you allow this to happen? In the middle of all of this fasting, of all places, why do you allow us to become short on patience and you allow us to become frustrated with things in our lives? It's because we are in a process of purification. You see, God is saying, church, I want to purify you. And this is how I am choosing to do this. Frustration will limit our perception. It will limit our perception of God. And we have to be careful that we don't limit our perception of God. So why does God allow this to happen in the middle of all of these problems? Well, if we remember our refrigerator, frustration can indicate problems within, as I had spoke about. one of the problems that it will indicate is problems in our character. You see, God desires that we be people, we be a church of upright character. Proverbs 28:6 says, "Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he is rich." You see, the psalmist here is writing the Proverbs here is saying that you're better off to be poor and have integrity than to have wealth and be perverse. We live in such a world today that there is such a lack of integrity in people's lives. It seems like people define people of good moral character and good top-notch integrity. It's very difficult to find people. Romans 5:3-5 says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance." I'm reading from the New King James. And perseverance, what does that produce? That produces character. And character leads to hope. And now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. Character. Frustration can indicate problems in our character. Frustration reveals the need for patience. We talked about patience. "By your patience possess ye your soul." We read that scripture in Luke. Frustration reveals if we are submitted unto God. Did you know that humility or frustration in our lives, humility or submission in our lives, it destroys the flesh and it cures the heart and the soul of any unholiness or worldliness in it. That's why James 4:7 says, "Therefore submit to God and resist the devil." Resist the temptation. Resist the temptation of frustration. Resist frustration, and he will flee from you. Frustration reveals the need of trust. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." Frustration reveals the need of humility. We spoke about this in Matthew 5. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." You see, when we become frustrated, it reveals to us that we need to have the spirit of humility within us. Ephesians 4:2 says, "With all lowliness, humility, and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love." You see, frustration reveals the need of God's direction in our lives. You see, so many times we try to do things in our lives on our own. And one of the purposes of this fast is to break down our will to where our will becomes his will. It's not the will, it's not what Pastor Roy wants, it's not what Bishop John Grant wants, it's what does God want? What does God want? What is God's will? And frustration reveals a need in our lives of following after God's direction. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." So how do we handle frustration in our lives? Well, for starters, we have to realize that difficulties are inevitable in life. And you're going to face difficulties after this time of testing. You're going to face difficulties during this time of testing. But remember, church, this is a test. Job 14:1 says, "A man is born of woman, and a few days full of trouble." What Job was saying here, and some what of a blunt way this is called life. Deal with it and get over it. That's what. Don't whine, don't complain. It's only going to make matters worse. Those who feel sorry for themselves usually draw others into that same mindset. We hear that story, we hear that little cliche, birds of a feather flock together. And that's so true. Frustration often leads to depression and to a pity party because we're frustrated in our lives because we will not give our flesh up. And this is going to be a strong battle for some. Because as we go deeper into this, if your flesh does not submit to the will of the Spirit, then frustration is going to become in the forefront. You see, God, when we look at pity party, God very rarely looks down at people with pity on them. You see, we have to understand what causes our frustration. Is a problem an external or internal? And we spoke about the difference between the two. Most of our frustration comes from internal problems. Internal cleansing of the heart and destroying the flesh and seeking after the Spirit. This is so important, church. This is so, so important. And as we go more into this. This isn't just something that's just good for the next 21 days. This is something that I feel God is saying, this is how I want my church to operate. This is how I want you to live your lives. Live your lives so that the flesh is subject to your spirit. When we look at the heart of a man, and this is something that is so hard for us. We don't want to face this fact and we struggle with it. But the scripture says the secrets of the heart, the psalmist, the secrets of the heart is deceptively wicked, and who can know it? And we have to, as we begin to fast and we couple that fasting with prayer. If you're just, as I said, if you're just fasting to fast and you're not praying, then you're just going to go hungry. There's no point in it. And we need to take it. We get to find that place every day in prayer and say, God, reveal to me the secrets that are hidden inside of my life so I can take and I can flush that out of my system. And we allow that to build up and build up. And we begin this battle. So we need to ask God. You see, you have no idea, and I have no idea how deceitfully wicked our hearts can be. We can be bitter and all of that and vindictiveness and hatred and all of these things that we allow to build up. The only thing that can remove it is an act of God through prayer and through fasting. We have to destroy it. We have to drive it out. You know, sometimes we just pray about needs and God just seemingly answers so quickly. And sometimes other things, I know that there are people here that have been battling and frustrated in their lives spiritually because they're not as far as they would desire to be in God because you continually fight issues that you have yet to conquer. And you fight them over and over and over for years of my life. This is off topic. Years in my life, I fought some of those same battles over and over and over, and I became so frustrated and I would just quit. Until I finally reached a point, and I haven't, at this point in my life, I reached that point where I've got to take the flesh, and I've got to subject my flesh to the will, to your spirit. I can't fight it anymore because I'm sick of the frustration in my life. And so many of us, we're coming fast, approaching that point in our lives. Within the next few days, we're going to be hitting that wall of frustration because we don't want to give up. The flesh doesn't want to give up to the spirit. We've got to take and start with cleaning out and cleaning on the inside, because what is inside of us will reflect what is outside. We've got to start internally. Clean out the inside, because that is the most difficult. That is the most difficult task. So as we complete this first week of fasting, and if our musicians can come, and if you could stand to your feet, I want to challenge you within the next few days here. So we come into this place on Sunday. We need to be working on a pure heart. I think Brother Scott and Vicky, our worship will reach a level that we have never experienced if we come in here with a clean and a pure heart. Create in me a clean heart or a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It doesn't mean that all of us are just mean and bad and nasty. But our flesh is our flesh. And our heart can be wicked. Who can even know it? So as we come in here between now and Sunday, we're going to face some frustrations, and you're going to face some frustrations. But time, if addressed properly, time will make the difference. I want you to focus between now and Sunday on seeking the counsel of God. Don't go into God with a whole bunch of problems. Go into God and say, God, I am messed up inside and my heart is dirty. And I want you to counsel me, Lord, on how can I create a clean heart. What do I have to do, God, to purify my insides? Seek the counsel of God and listen to what God has to say. Most oftentimes, He will speak through His Word. So many times we want to say, God told me this and God told me that, and it doesn't really line up all the time with what His Word says, because a lot of what God told me is really what our flesh wants us. That's a whole other topic. God's not going to tell you anything contrary to His Word. And if God told you something contrary to His Word, it's probably not God. So we'll leave it at that. And you can only do what you have the ability to deal with at this level in your life. You can only deal with so many problems and so much. And then you have to leave the rest up to God. And Pastor Thomas, that's what we don't like to do, because we like to fix our own problems because we don't want anybody else to know about them. And I want to encourage you to just don't make matters any worse. And remember that this frustration that you may feel will pass. Because it's a test. I want to close out with what God has been speaking to us I've read this a number of times, and I'm going to continue to read this because I think this is so very important. God spoke this word to us on Sunday morning a few weeks ago. I want to cleanse you. I want to cleanse you. This is how we go about the process. I want to purify you. I want to open your eyes to things that you cannot see. Right at this time, when I first heard that, my mind was thinking about all the miracles, signs, and wonders. But as I began studying, and I read this again, it's like God is saying, I want to open up your eyes to things. I want to reveal to you things that you can't see at this time, but I'm going to reveal them to you. Maybe it's talking about what's in here. If you will submit to this time, to this process, if you will endure the pain, if you will exert the effort, I will not just assist you. I will come running to you. I will take you places you have not been, show you things you have not seen. I will perform miracles in your life and in the lives of your family. The families of this church and this city. Open yourself to this. Don't allow the negativity to dissuade you from this. Submit. Submit. And I will bless and I will perform miracles. He spoke to us, church, and he says, if you complete this task, if you complete the test of patience, the test of frustration, and the other tests that are coming, he says, I will come running to you. And all that I have promised, I will do. So I want to open up this altar tonight is a time of soul searching. I want you to spend time tonight. If you need prayer, we want to pray with you, but I want you to spend time tonight with you and God. If you need healing, just ask for one of us pastors. We'll pray for you. To ask God to just reveal to us, Lord. I need your perfect peace to shower. God, reveal to me the inner workings in my heart, God. Reveal to me, Lord Jesus, those things that you find repulsive, Lord.
To reveal the secret.